Hello, it's Laura Gallagher here. I'm part of the Great Britain Trampoline Squad, and earlier this year I recorded a follow-up podcast with Will from Sportspiel, and afterwards we just sort of got chatting and thought it would be fun and quite interesting to have a bit of a go at interviewing my very talented teammates ahead of our World Championships in Tokyo. I think like all athletes, we each have our own sort of journeys and all our experiences are so different. And I find that really interesting. I think all of the girls have such great stories and perspectives on sport and life. And although we're all so different, we all share the same passion and drive in our sport. I first spoke to Kat Driscoll. We've been teammates for many years, maybe since the start of my senior career 10 years ago. She is a bit of a legend in the trampoline world, having competed in 23 consecutive British Championships and 11 senior World Championships and two Olympic Games, where she became an Olympic finalist in Rio after narrowly missing out on the final in London. She's probably one of the toughest people I know, and we've shared some awesome memories together, including three World Championship medals, one of which was gold. We became team world champions in 2013, which was awesome, and also two European gold medals. So yeah, it was really cool to sort of chat to her about things we wouldn't normally talk to each other about. I next caught up with Izzy Songhurst, who's our youngest women's team member. We talked about her transition from a really successful junior career into the senior world, and then touched on how she dealt with the injury challenge that she faced only a short time ago and how she's managed to come back from that even stronger. And finally, I caught up with Bryony Page, who's also my housemate when we train up at Lillishall. I'm sure you can remember Bryony winning an Olympic silver medal at Rio and her reaction at the end, which was probably one of the most memorable moments for many people at the 2016 Games. We talked about growing up her journey basically towards that medal, and then the best bit, which was just how it felt winning the medal, being around the athlete village, the whole Olympic experience, and her best memories from not only Rio but from her career as well. I've definitely not done anything like this before, so it's certainly not perfect, but hopefully you enjoy listening in as much as we enjoyed recording it. So I am here with trampolining legend and double Olympian, Kat Driscoll. Hello, Kat.
Hiya.
Kat, you have been in the game for quite some time.
Yes.
When exactly did you start trampolining?
I started when I was 7 years old. So I've been trampolining for, God, my maths needs to be really good now, 26 years?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so quite a long time. Just kind of found it a little bit by accident. My brothers and I went to a half-term activity camp, and we were there kind of all day with a sporty family. We tried all the different activities, and trampolining was one of the ones that they offered. I must admit, I wasn't completely sold at first. The coach spoke to my mum at the end of the week and said, oh, I think you should bring us to the club. I wasn't like that keen. Went along, and then when I found out about the competitive side of it and saw a lot of the bigger skills people were doing then, I was absolutely hooked by that point. And yeah, I still love it as much now as I did when I was 7 years old.
And you've managed to travel around a little bit from different clubs as well. Can you talk us through that journey as well, because you've been down south and then up north, and now you're in Lillishall.
Yep, kind of traveled around a little bit. I started at a local leisure centre, obviously, where I first got introduced to trampoline. It was just a little club that did a couple of local competitions a year, and I kind of outgrew that pretty quickly, and the coach couldn't commit to taking me to national competitions. So my first national competition, I went without a coach. My mum drove me, and it was kind of like, this isn't right. So there was a local club that was a lot bigger, not far away. So then I travelled to that club and had a bit of a tryout and absolutely loved it. And not long after I joined there, they opened a purpose-built centre as well. So it was a centre that was just about trampolining. And for me, obviously, as a kid, having that as a playground every night was amazing. Stayed there for a while, and then was just a really kind of stroppy teenager is probably the best way I can put it, and I didn't like to be told what to do. So one day I had a bit of an argument with the coach, and being as stubborn as I am, I was like, Mum, I'm never going back and training with him ever again.
Was that a Gillingham?
Yeah, that was a Gillingham. Yeah, yeah.
Was that one of the first ever specialist centres?
I think it Gillingham. Was the very first yeah. one, yeah. Oh, cool. So yeah, yeah, it was a long time ago that opened.
Bold move.
Yeah, it was so cool as a playground though. Yeah, so we kind of, just being so stubborn that I refused to go back and train with him just because... literally because I was stubborn, no other reason at all. And then said my mum and dad would drive me 80 miles each way every day of the week to Reading to train.
Gosh.
So that became quite an adventure. And then as I got a little bit older, I was kind of, I guess, around 16, 17, I was actually staying up there quite a few days through the week. Yeah, trained there for a while. And then when I was 18, I spread my wings and moved up north and lived up in Washington for a good few years. And
what was the sharing the car with your mum and dad like?
I actually really enjoyed it because my dad worked in central London, so a lot of my time through the week I spent with my mum because dad would be at work, and then on a weekend I got to spend a lot of time with dad, so I felt like yeah. I had a really good mix of both parents.
I know, like for me sometimes, because mine was only 45 minute drive, but sometimes if you just, you know, after like school and you're tired and whatever, and sometimes you just don't want to chat about training. And some, to be fair, my parents are really good. I think yours are probably the same because they know a lot about it, but sometimes that can be a bit like in your eyes as a teenager, a bit yeah. of a stress, like stop yeah. talking to me.
I think then... yeah, I know what you mean, but I think I was pretty good with mum and dad at laying yeah. like, and obviously
Grambles,
they yeah.
yeah,
and they, my mum could tell if I wanted to talk or not talk, yeah. and she was really good that she'd pick me up from school. There'd be obviously like food and stuff, and if I wanted yeah. to sleep on the way, she wouldn't make me be awake and talk to her. She'd quite happily just drive on her own. And
yeah, it's not easy for the parents, is it?
You
don't
my
really
God.
Think like, now as an adult it's yeah. It's like you can see clearly what a dedication the
yeah I can't even comprehend how my mum survived that period of time yeah. where she would take my dad to the train station at, I think it was like 6 or 6:30 in the morning, and then she would go to work, I would go to school, so she'd be at work all day, and yeah. then she'd literally finish work, dash to school, pick me up, drive up the M25, M3, M4, which yeah. you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
She'd sit and watch me train for a couple of hours, and then we'd drive home, and we'd not get home until like 10, 10:30 at night, some nights, yeah. depending on what time I finished training and the traffic. And she would just do that and repeat all the time, and she never once moaned, she never questioned it. It was yeah. just, if that's what I wanted to do, then that's, she yeah. would get me there, and it was just...
So what was life up north? How did you settle in there?
I loved it, and the appeal for me was... it was just a much more chilled out and friendly environment. I found like everyone just seemed to... I found that when you're down south a lot, you find a lot of people are always on the go, and they're always busy, and they're always trying to get somewhere, or they're trying to achieve something, and you don't find that they take a lot of time to stop in the street and even just say hello to people.
Yeah.
And when I was up north and I really got to experience this, suddenly like people would talk to you and ask you how you were or say good morning. It was
yeah.
like, okay, this
Shock.
Is strange. Yeah, it was just really strange.
Yeah.
And I really liked it. I loved the people up there. I loved the atmosphere. And obviously for the training side of it as well, it was, I felt like I suddenly had complete freedom of every bit of my training. And I love that I, for the first time in a long time, I felt fully in control of,
yeah,
I guess, my career. And that if I made the mistakes, I had no one else to blame but myself. And it was all on me. And I really liked that I had that complete
yeah.
control.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's really... yeah, that's really important, I suppose, yeah. as you get older as well and moving into senior.
Yeah.
How many senior competitions have you done now?
Wow. This is my 11th senior Worlds.
Yeah. So how do you find the motivation to carry on? What motivates you? What makes you tick?
I just love trampolining, and yeah. I feel like I've always kind of said, for as long as I wake up in the morning and feel like I can go in and achieve something, I'll keep going. And for the... obviously there's days obviously where it is you're hurt, you're more tired,
yeah,
or whatever,
definitely.
They're a struggle. I don't mean those days, but I mean if there was a prolonged period of time where I really didn't enjoy myself, I didn't feel like I was achieving anything,
yeah.
or didn't feel like there was anything to smile about, I guess that would be the time for me to call it quits.
Yeah.
So the motivation just comes from trying to make, I guess, the 7-year-old
yeah.
me that started proud of the journey that she's been on. I think I still love what I do, and I just think, why stop if I still love it?
Yeah.
There's
yeah,
still things like, to achieve, I guess. I've achieved
definitely.
Things that I didn't start working with Trace until our national coach until like 2012, and I was pretty content with probably being done at that point because I was like,
yeah.
well, I'm not really going to do anything more than that. And she kind of opened my eyes to believe that
there's more
out there you
and
can
it's
achieve.
Not just about a certain event or
yeah.
a certain it's
that's
more,
the best bit of it. Your career's not going to be defined by one competition.
No.
It's defined by all the little things that have got you to where you get to, and then the person you become at the end of it.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think that's the thing that I've learned a lot more in later life, that it isn't about the medals and it isn't about all the achievements you talk about, because once you stop, a lot of people forget that anyway,
yeah.
but they don't forget the person that you are or the person you become
definitely.
In life
so
after
we've
sport.
Grown up well, in my whole senior career, like, we've grown up together and we've gone through lots of different competitions, lots of yep. training periods, lots of ups and definitely lots of downs.
Yep, we've had the whole lot. I think that's the thing, yeah. though, then you, it's nice because I guess we can see in each other the how much each of us have grown and changed. Yeah.
And now as adults, like, I know you're past trampolining, that you, or post-trampolining, you want to look at, like, maybe getting into coaching and helping our future trampolinists achieve what you have achieved and what some of the other guys on the team have achieved as well. Has your outlook changed for yourself and in having that in mind?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I was asked a lot when I was younger as well, like, oh, do you think you'll ever be a coach? And I was like, no, definitely not. Like, I
just absolutely
was,
not.
Yeah, adamant. I was never going to do it. I was like, I can't do it, yeah. And I think...
It changes, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think it just takes one person as well to change your perspective on the coaching, because I've worked with some great coaches in my career, but something about the way Trace approached me, my career, my story, I don't know, it just... I never realised how much of an effect a coach can have on a person rather than an athlete, if yeah. you want to separate the two. And I think because of how much she's helped me develop as a person, and that's obviously made everything in life so much better, that I'm like, if I can do that for one person in a way that she's done that for me, then I would be more than happy if I could just change one person's life in that way. Yeah. And that made me realize that it isn't just about going out and achieving medals and wanting to be the most successful coach has ever been. Because if you can just make one person
yeah.
have a better, more successful life, then great.
And it's still that passion of trampolining will always be there, won't it? So yeah. like, if you can pass that and spread that on and keep that evolving and growing as well, then yeah. then that would be amazing.
Yeah, I think so. Because obviously, like I've said, I've trampolined for 26 years now. Like, I've, yeah. it's a sport that I don't know life without. Like, I don't remember life before trampolining yeah. and I can't imagine a life without trampolining. Yeah. I met my husband through trampolining.
Yeah.
My brother married his wife, who apparently, like, they met through a trampoline club, so she yeah. used to trampoline. Like,
sport is incredible,
oh my,
isn't
oh
it?
Oh my god. And then my sister-in-law, who's married to my husband's brother, we used to compete against each yeah. other, and it's not, we didn't meet each other through, like, all connected, but it all ends up, we've all got, like, a common
yeah
kind of thing, and that's quite nice, that it's something that's going to be part of our family, hopefully, for a long time to come.
Yeah, definitely. Just growing up, just when you started trampolining, when was your first international, by the way, as a junior?
98, I went to World Age.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. My first competition for Great Britain, then I went to Australia.
Yeah, that was amazing.
I mean, and that's now, what I expected every competition to be like.
Most of them are in Europe now, aren't they?
I suddenly realised that they weren't all going to be that good.
Yeah, so was when you went at that time, can you remember, who was your sort of hero, who was your idol at the time? And is that still the same, or has that changed?
I think mine changed quite a lot through my career, depending on where I was in life, I guess. I yeah. was mesmerised by the Olympics as a kid. Apparently, yeah. I used to just watch it all the time and same. Was fascinated. And I didn't really care what sport it was. Like, I'd yeah. watch anyone. And it was Matthew Pinsent that always caught my eye.
Oh, yeah.
Being younger, is I just like the fact that everyone always talked about Steve Redgrave and never talked about him. And it was like, but it's about the two of them. You can't yeah. have one without the other. And yeah. I love the fact that he'd achieved everything he'd achieved. But he still didn't seem to be the one that got yeah. spoken about. And something about that really kind of resonated. I mean, I really like that. And so I think actually when I was first trampolining, I wasn't taken by loads of people in the sport because I didn't understand enough of the bigger, wider picture of what was going on. And you do a lot of stuff kind of regionally until you get a bit older. And even when I was that young, it was, you went in, you did your competition and you left. So, and then as I got a bit older, Jamie Moore was probably the real
for me. It was her
hero.
Presence. Oh, she had just such a presence around the trampoline. Yeah. And then when she got on, it was like, bosh.
Yeah,
here
it was,
I am.
She made trampolining look beyond easy.
Yeah.
And it is not easy.
Yeah, it is.
And I
yeah.
think for someone to be able to be that elegant, and I guess what's really special about her is obviously being the first girl that went to the Olympic Games for us as well. Yeah. Like, that's
what do you find the hardest bit about trampolining? Is it physically, mentally? Is it
depends what day of the week you're asking me. As I've got older, I think it's more physically.
Yeah.
I think I can't train the way I used to train, and
yeah,
that really frustrated me a lot. Like, and I couldn't understand. My head was so willing me to do more, and my body wouldn't. Like, it took me a long time to accept that I couldn't. I wasn't 21 anymore.
Yeah.
I couldn't train how I used to train, and I didn't want to give in, and I didn't want to give stuff up. And I was like, I can still do it. So I did resist it for a long time.
Yeah, it's a little bit of like, it's not denial. It's like, it's almost like a grieving period, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where you're like, have to just go through the process of accepting that that is what it is, and
yeah.
now just because you can't train quite as much volume wise, you just train smarter, exactly, and just adapt that way.
Yeah,
but yeah. Okay, so I have a few quicker questions. I think I know the answer to this. Okay. Well, I know the answer to this. Your favourite athlete?
Oh, Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah. I knew it.
Easy one.
Favourite song?
Oh, the Heather Small song that was around for the 2012 games always kind of gets the hairs up on...
Is that Proud?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think just because of what it meant to all of us at the time, like,
and also,
home games.
Do you remember... I remember walking out to that. They used to have that at the national championships at the NEC when it was just back there.
It was just something... I don't know if it's just because it was the home game thing. It was a song when they announced that we'd won the city. I don't know. It just...
Yeah.
It makes me proud to be British for some reason.
Yeah. And that goes on to the next question. What's your favourite sporting memory in your career?
Yeah, I think the moment I love the most was the moment we marched out in 2012 to compete, and they march you up onto the podium and you stand there as the first eight that come out, and they introduce the athletes one by one as you go along, and I was third on, and I remember it was like cheer
roar.
It was cheer. Oh my god, honestly, that was the first kind of real
emotion,
like, you had to kind of be like
this is
real, because when you march out it's fine because it's cheering and you can get that at competitions all the time, you don't know that's for you, but then obviously when it was one by one, and I remember like when I turned back round and I can't remember who it was that stood next to me, but you know when you remember someone smiling at you and you're like, okay, they've just got how mad
big
that was. And it's quite interesting because then from that same competition, Trace always says to me, I don't know how you competed your vol. She went, because when you walked up to the trampoline and they announced your name, she went, I bent down to pick the mat up. She went, and I literally couldn't get back up because the roar was that loud.
It was amazing.
She said it was just, it kind of overtook her body a bit.
Because we were so lucky to have, you know, be able to compete at home games. Or not we, sorry, you.
Yeah.
We're so lucky to be able to compete at home games and be part of that.
But for our
build
sport
up as
to
well,
have a venue
huge.
Like we did, to have that many people watch our sport, I think is...
Yeah.
That's important. Like, we need the more people, I guess, that see the sport, they understand, like more of what we do, and don't just think we're kind of flipping around on a garden trampoline, and that it's
get
really
that all
easy.
The time.
Yeah. So I think, like, for our sport, it's so incredible to be on that platform, to have 16,000 people in the O2 Arena. Like, that's pretty
cool. That is amazing.
Yeah.
And linking on to my next question, how do you stay calm and focused in a competition arena, and especially at the games? Like, how do you stay in the zone? Is there anything you do?
I think at the games I just trusted my training. I just trusted I'd literally, every time I went in to do training, I was doing all my routines. I tried them morning, day, night. We tried every time of the day. We tried every kind of distraction training possible. We tried different temperatures, different lightings, different leotards, facing different ways. Like, I tested everything out possible. So it was one of those, like, just trust your training and go with it. It's your time to shine, I guess.
And because at that time, most of the training, we were still in our home environments. But obviously before the games, they pulled you in and you were training at Lillishall. And obviously now we train a lot more at Lillishall. That's what are the benefits? What have you found the most, like...
Yeah, I actually...
Most of the game, training here and having everything here.
I actually asked to come in for the games. It was a plan to be at Lillishall.
Okay.
I just knew that I didn't want to be in my club environment. Not because I didn't enjoy that.
No.
But I wanted to be able to be somewhere where...
Away.
Yeah, and at that time, the phone signal wasn't great here either.
Yeah.
So it was a perfect little place
to isn't.
Just... Yeah, it was a perfect place to just hide. And... Because I think at that point, that kind of the 4 weeks going into the games was the time when I suddenly realised the enormity of what I was going into. And that's when I really struggled and was like, I need to be away from everyone and everything. And I need to be in my own little bubble and not know what's going on. And that was the real kind of, I guess, the starting catapult of us thinking, maybe we need to come back here. Maybe we need to be part of British Gymnastics and we need to
get everyone together. Because everyone were, at that time, I remember everyone being, it wasn't isolated in a negative way, but everyone was dotted around the country. And it has been a way of pulling the team together. And, and you know, we go away to competitions, everyone knows their own little things.
And I think we all know, like, we've got, well, at that time, we had five incredible girls that... We didn't know which five of us was going to be on teams at the time.
Yeah, it was such a battle, wasn't
it? And the only reason I think we got so much better was because we would have all been successful on our own. I don't have any doubts about that. But I think we got to the stage we got to, say 2013 when we won World Team Final, was because we were in training at Lillishall seeing each other all the time, seeing what the other ones were doing. And you didn't want to be the one left behind. So everyone raised their game because they saw what was out there and they knew they needed to keep up. And I think that's one of the biggest benefits.
Yeah, pushing each other on.
Yeah.
Do you have a favourite quote?
I never really had one kind of through my career until I got a bit older, and it was always, you're never too old to dream a new dream or set a new goal. And it was one of those, it's like, just because you've got slightly old, it doesn't mean you can't.
It's not too deep either.
I quite like it because I always...
Nice.
Yeah, I used to always call people old, I guess, when they're in their 30s. And now that I'm in my 30s, I'm like...
You don't feel 30, do you? Well, I
don't. No, I still feel like I'm 21, like, still loving life, so, yeah.
Okay, one word that best describes you.
Fierce.
Fierce. Like it. Bold.
I could have said a bit bolder, but yeah.
You're like, fierce.
And I was like, does that sound really silly? But I think
it doesn't.
Fierce.
No, I think it's
if you're talking about as a competitor, I'd say fierce.
Fierce, yeah.
Yeah.
Just one last question then.
Okay.
If you were to meet Lewis Hamilton tomorrow, what would that mean to you? And what would be the first question you'd ask him?
I actually don't know, because it's not that he's... I think I just like that it's somebody outside of the Olympic environment. I like to look at... There's people within the Olympics that I like to look at as well, but I like the appeal that he's from outside the Olympics. And what I like about him is that he does it his way, and he doesn't care about the way that everybody thinks he should do it.
Yeah.
He's going to do his career, his life, whatever it is, what suits him best, because he's kind of the worldwide star of Formula One. But
that's quite a pressure, isn't it, as an athlete?
Oh, he's been questioned so many times.
Yeah, you get everyone's opinion from lots of different angles about how you should be and what makes a champion and what makes the best athlete and what you should be doing. And sometimes it is hard to stick to your guns and your gut and what you truly believe.
Well, he's really into all of his fashion stuff, so he quite often will go off and do like fashion shows, or he's been designing stuff with like Tommy Hilfiger. So he goes off and does all of that in between his Grand Prix.
Not that you're stalking him or anything, but just
no, but you know, I'm a proud follower. But I think I really like he's doing it his way. He doesn't care what way everyone talks about how he should. They're saying, oh, he's distracted and he's not concentrating on his driving and blah, blah, blah. But he turns up at the races and delivers, and he does it his way in between. And I like that he's not... A bit like, I guess, Andy Murray's probably another one of my real kind of sporting heroes.
I'm
and
a
I like,
big fan. Yeah, big fan of Andy Murray.
It's the same... I think it's those principles of the people that are like, this is me, this
I've
is how I am.
Liked Andy Murray,
and I'm not changing just because you think I should.
Just because there's a camera in your face.
Yeah, and I really like that. And I try and be true to who I am regardless of the situation.
Lewis Hamilton, if you're out there, if you're listening to this,
hit me up.
Thanks, Kat.
Thanks, Laura.
You're listening to Sportspiel, the Players Podcast.
Welcome back to part two. This time I'm joined by my lovely teammate, Izzy Songhurst.
Hi.
So we're actually currently in Japan, having arrived yesterday ahead of the World Championships, which start actually next week. So we're lucky enough to come out, first of all, for a training camp, recover and sort of get used to the time difference, just in preparation for the big one next week. Izzy, how are you finding it so far?
Yeah, it's been okay. I'm still trying to settle in with the jet lag and everything, but I think our first session went pretty well for everyone today, so I'm quite looking forward to getting some solid training done this week, and then really looking forward to getting into the Comp Arena next week and getting out and competing. It's going to be great.
Yeah, same. So we're just going to start. I want to go back in time. How old were you when you started trampolining?
I think I was roughly about 2 years old. I don't really remember, but from what I've been told, my mum used to just take me along when she was working and coaching trampolining and gymnastics. And she basically just put me on a trampoline one day. And from then on, you know, I loved it. So she got me enrolled in classes and stuff, started doing classes, and then clearly showed a little bit of potential. So my mum invested in me and like drove me to training all the time. And it just all went from there.
Yeah, that's really cool, because you've always been at Olga, haven't you?
I have, yes, always been at Olga, because my mum used to work there, so that's been the club that I've been at since the start.
And I know Olga, which is a trampoline club based in Poole in Bournemouth.
Poole, yes.
I know Olga, they have a gymnastics club opposite. Did you ever do any gymnastics or just straight into trampolining?
I did. So I actually started out doing artistic gymnastics and trampoline at the same time, and then did both of them actually at a competitive level until I was about 12. And then it got to a point where they said to me that, you know, obviously you can't commit to both full time because they're both, you know, they have a lot of commitments and there's a lot of training hours involved in both. So I had to make a decision which one I wanted to commit to full time, and I chose trampolining, which was obviously the right decision.
What was it about trampolining? Was it just a different kind of discipline, or did you find it easier or more difficult?
I don't really know. I think at the time I was quite clever in the sense of I knew that our trampoline program in the club was more successful than the gymnastics side. I think there was just something about trampoline that I enjoyed a lot more than gymnastics. I never saw myself going that far in gymnastics. I just kind of did it because I enjoyed it. I liked having four different apparatus to do. I liked having a different thing to do every session. But yeah, I think just the thing about trampoline was that I just really enjoyed it and I loved coming in and just having that feeling of like flying.
Yeah, there's no real sort of ceiling to trampolining, is there? Seem to be able to keep progressing. There's always new skills to learn. No one's ever sort of reached there's always things to do.
I don't feel that there's any limits to trampolining. There's literally no limit you can go to. You can do whatever you want, and it's crazy, but it's so exciting. I think that's what drew me to it ultimately, was that I knew that, you know, no matter how good I got a trampoline, I was never going to be able to do everything that you can do.
Yeah.
So there was always going to be something more I could do, which I think I was really excited, because I'm one of those people that loves a challenge and loves being able to ultimately be the best, but also knowing that there's no limit to what I can do.
And obviously there's one thing training and another thing competing.
Yeah, 100%.
And it's like a whole nother skill to learn, isn't it? And again, with competing, I find that you're constantly learning more and more about yourself. And you had a really successful junior career. Mm-hmm. Tell us a bit about that, because you actually have quite a few medals.
Yeah, so my junior career was quite successful. I got a European and a world junior gold medal.
In the same year, wasn't it?
In the same year, yeah. So I won British, European and world gold all in the same year, which was crazy for me. I had quite a successful junior career, but I feel like the jump up to senior, I've learned a lot more about competing than I did in all those years I had in my junior career, because it's just such a different atmosphere and you have to have such a different approach being a senior than you do as a junior.
Yeah.
I think I didn't expect that going in. I thought, oh, you know, I'll just transition smoothly and I can just keep doing what I'm doing, but obviously improving, and that I'd be fine. But actually I had to completely change my competition approach, my psychology around training and competing. Yeah. But it's obviously been really exciting to be able to do so, because I felt like I needed that change by the end of my junior career. I felt like I was getting a little bit stagnant.
Was it in your last junior career that you won all three, the British, European and Worlds?
No. Yeah, it was near the end, but so my junior career didn't really end until about midway through 2016, and I won all those golds in 2014.
Yep.
So it was nearing the end, but it was kind of where I was at my peak, I think.
Yeah. Anyway, you were kind of ready to move up.
Yeah, I was kind of getting ready to move up, so I think I was really driven in training and competition, and I knew that I didn't have long left as a junior, so I just wanted to make the most of it.
Yeah, like I know for me, the transition from junior to senior was pretty different to yours, because when I came up, I came up at a similar time to quite a few other athletes, like Bryony. There was Amanda Parker and Kat Driscoll had already just come up. Actually, Kat had come up a few years before, but it was kind of around that time. And there was, I don't know, Pam was shortly after me. There was quite a few girls around that time that were sort of moving on together, certainly in terms of skill and ability and level. There was quite a group of us, and it all sort of happened at the same time. Whereas for you, it was very different. You were on your own.
Yep.
You came into a group of girls that had been around for quite a long time, who had, I think at that time, two world medals and two European medals at that time, or was it three?
I think it's two or three.
Two or three European titles. So quite a successful girls, like women's team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how did you find that? Like, what were the best bits and what were the biggest challenges for you?
I think the best bit was obviously the transition and now being a very a very integrated part of the team. Obviously I felt a lot of pressure going into such an established women's team already and knowing, you know, all the success you guys had behind you. But I think it was really exciting for me to have a new approach and know that, you know, I was going to have to work really hard if I wanted to get to the level you guys are at and compete with you and compete with all those other people that are in the senior field. So I think that was one of the best bits, but also one of the challenges as well. So it's kind of like
makes sense. Yeah.
I think the biggest challenge for me was, like I said earlier, was probably about changing which I still don't think I haven't fully achieved yet, but I am getting there, is changing my competition approach.
I think that's something that just evolves though over time, because you change constantly. You're constantly changing every year as an athlete.
And as a person as well.
Yeah. And are there any other challenges that you found? So from obviously coming from the top of junior to then almost feeling like you're starting again, you get a fresh start, it's quite exciting on the one hand, but did you ever struggle with that feeling?
I think definitely, but I also think
you're not having, starting again, but you're starting a fresh chapter, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
like you're not.
I think for me, that whole transition, I think that because I knew I was kind of coming, I had to make my way back up to the top, it was kind of a blessing in disguise, but I don't think I realised that until I'd kind of settled in a little bit more.
Yeah.
I think at the start, I was worrying a little bit about, you know, not being good enough or...
when you know you are.
yeah, I guess.
But it's just that whole, yeah.
Yeah, I just didn't... I got to a point where I didn't really believe I would ever make it there because I was like, oh, well, I'm starting at the bottom again and am I actually ever going to make it up to that level? But
yeah.
I think I just learned to just accept things for what they were and just try my best because my best is always going to be good enough for me.
Yeah. That's all you can do, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that definitely was one of the challenges, but it was also one of the positives as well because I felt like for me, I did need a new stimulus. I needed to know that, you know, I really had to work hard to get back up to the top again. It's like it's something new for me because at the end of my junior career, I was kind of like, I got to a point where, I'm not saying it was easy, but I was kind of consistently making...
It became a bit stale.
Yeah.
Like you needed...
Yeah, I was consistently making kind of the top A. So I struggled... Yeah. I struggled to motivate myself because I was kind of like, oh, well, I'm, you know, even on an average day, I could still get a world or a European medal or, you know, still be the best in Britain for my age group. But actually, I think when I transitioned into a senior, I was like, oh, well, you know, I need to be on my top form if I want to even make top 24 in the world. So but I think that's been really good for me in training because I know if I'm a little bit unmotivated, I'd be like, you know, that's how I switch it on. I'm like, you need to be working your absolute hardest no matter what.
Yeah.
Because if you want to achieve what you want to achieve, that's how you're going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So I want to take you back to 2017, which was your first ever senior world championship.
It was.
And
my first ever senior major, actually.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ah, I forgot about that. I know for me that was a really big comp for me because I'd just come back from, I think that was my first world championship since 2013.
Wow.
So I had injuries and then I didn't get selected in 2015 and then I took a little bit of time out. Obviously there wasn't a world championship in 2016 either. So I know for me that was a really special one anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But we managed to, there was only three, that so normally there's four people in a team, four women in a team. But that year we only went with three because unfortunately Bryony was injured for that competition. So we went out with three and it was a big challenge to get into the team final. Like we knew we were capable, but obviously it was a big challenge as well because it meant we all had to be on our A game because it's normally at the World Championships you have four people in a team and the top three scores to count. So obviously we didn't have any room for error because there were only three of us. So all of our three scores counted. So we made it into the team final and... This was obviously your first world championship as a senior, and you were first out of the girls to compete, weren't you?
Do you know what? I didn't remember that I went up first. I think that's because when we did qualification, I went up second.
Yeah.
So I don't actually remember going up first in the team final. But I obviously did go up first. I think that was a smart idea, though, for the team and for me as well, because I felt really nervous in that team final. I felt more nervous than I did in qualification. I think more because there's a bit more pressure on you to... kind of get through your routine.
It's a whole other experience because of course did you have a team at junior level? Did you ever compete in a...
I think at junior level I did one, maybe two team events. The only one I can remember is Europeans in 2014.
Yeah.
And I remember I think that was four people up, three to count, so still a little bit less pressure.
Yeah.
And I think I went up second to last or last in that. It was definitely, I felt a lot of pressure because I knew that I had to try and go do a good routine, but also that I had to get through a routine.
It
was definitely a new type of pressure for me because I feel like when you're competing on individual, there's a lot of pressure on you, but it's pressure inflicted by yourself. Whereas when you're in that team final, you're also affected by, you know, the pressure of not letting other people down and not letting your country down a little bit more because it's a team event.
It is different,
It's a completely different stimulus. But it was really exciting.
And your mum was out watching, wasn't she?
My mum was
out
watching.
She was sat with my mum.
Yeah.
my parents, they weren't able to often come out, but mum had just finished working, so she came out. And your mum doesn't often...
No, I think my mum and my stepdad came out, I think, but I think because it's my first world championships, they made the effort to come out and they were able to get time off work. So I think it was really nice having them there because if I was
a little bit nervous. I could just go up and see them, or I could give them a ring, so in the same country. So it was nice having them there. But yeah, that team final was really exciting.
Yeah. Do you remember a lot about it? I find it hard to remember a lot about it, apart from the end.
I remember the end when we realised we'd got a medal.
It was when Kat was up. So for all of our team finals in the past, Kat's been up our final team member to compete. And it doesn't get any less nervy.
I know.
Watching
I was
that
thinking
routine.
About how nervous I was. I can't imagine how nervous Kat felt. No. But obviously, that's where all her experience comes into play.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, comes in handy because she's been in that situation so many times that it's just it's
do you
second nature
feeling,
for her. Must be.
Yeah, definitely. Do you remember feeling anything after when you like immediately after finishing your routine, or is it just all a bit of a blur?
I think the main thing I remember was relief, probably.
Yeah, same.
Relief, and I think I was pretty satisfied with the routine I'd done, because it was similar, if not a little bit better, to the one I'd done in qualification. So I think I was optimistic that even after my routine, before seeing yours and Kat's routine, that we had a chance to get a medal, because I knew that...
You knew the sort of scores we had
I knew the sort of scores we had to get, and also how my score related to...
Others in the...
The score that the other countries were going to get, like, roughly.
Yeah.
I just remember feeling very relieved.
And looking at the scoreboard the whole time. And then when we actually won, I think it's a picture of us all in a huddle jumping up and down.
We all we had the biggest grins on our faces.
That's so cool. So that was a really awesome time of your senior career. Have you had any really challenges?
I think obviously the biggest challenge for me was getting injured. One or 2 days before the European Championships, and then that whole rehab process was really challenging for me. But I always think that the philosophy I live by now is that everything happens for a reason, and looking back on that, I do definitely believe that it was a blessing in disguise, and that I have learned a lot from it as an athlete and also as a person. So that's definitely been the most challenging of my whole career. That's been the most challenging part. But I mean, if I could go back and change it, I don't think I would, because I've learned so much. And
what's the biggest thing you've learned you don't have to say?
I think it was a really good test of my patience, because it got to a point where I didn't think I was even going to be able to get back on a trampoline. I didn't know if I could wait any longer to I couldn't wait to get back on the trampoline. Didn't know if I wanted to go through that whole process. So I think patience was the biggest one for me, but also just learning how learning how I as a person react to trauma and to mental health issues, and just how I was able to get myself out of the hole I felt I was in and actually come out the other side a better person, I guess, and a stronger athlete.
Is that the first sort of major injury that you'd ever
had? This is the first ever major injury I've had ever in my life, so it was very unexpected, and I felt very lost at the start. But I had a great team of people behind me, and I don't think I would be where I am today without them, so I'm really thankful for all of that. But I'm also thankful for all the lessons I learned through that process as well.
And definitely come back stronger.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Ready to rock next
yes,
week.
100%.
Awesome. Okay, so I have got some quick fire questions. Well, quickish. I said this to Kat as well.
Are these one word answers or two word answers? Or
whatever you want.
Okay,
all
right.
Do you have any superstitions before you compete, or before you train, or during training, or during comps? Or?
No, I don't have any superstitions now. When I was younger, well, in my junior career, I used to always make sure I ate a banana before I competed. I wouldn't want to compete if I hadn't had a banana that day, but I managed to steer myself
away
from that.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. I think it's because one day I had a banana before our competition, and I had a really good competition.
Okay.
And then I just kept doing it, and every time I was like, oh, I need to have a banana because it will help. It wasn't even the fact that it's like, obviously, that it's a healthy food. I think it was just the fact that it became a routine, and I'm the sort of person who really likes routine.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I have to have my banana now, and then, the comp's going to go, how's it going to go? I think it was more of a routine thing for me, but I have managed to steer myself off of that now because I don't believe in superstition. So, no, currently I don't have any.
That's a good answer. Do you have a favourite quote?
My favourite quote is one that actually our teammate has tattooed on his leg. It's tough times don't last, tough people do.
Oh, that is I think a popular
it's a good
one.
Yeah, I think it's a good one for, you know, it can apply to any life situation, whether you're an athlete or not. I think it's just a really...
Has that always been your favourite quote or since
No, I think it's always been my favourite quote, yeah.
Do you have a song that you listen to before a competition or...
Ooh, I don't have a specific song. I normally listen to the genre of music that I feel matches or doesn't match my mood for that day. So if I feel like I need a pick me up, I'll listen to happy music.
Yeah.
If I feel like I need a little bit of like a confidence slash motivation, I'll listen to more rap, you know, that a little bit more aggressive, but a little bit more motivating.
Yeah, that
hype you up music. Yeah. And then if I feel like I need calming down, I'll listen to like a piano playlist or something.
Do you listen to music? I don't think I noticed. You normally like listening to music or anything?
I don't normally when we're in the competition arena. I listen to it in the morning and whilst we're travelling there sometimes. It normally depends if I feel like I want to do that or not. Because sometimes I want to be social and I want to be like just almost distracting myself a little bit from the nerves. But also, like on the other hand, sometimes I like being able to be in the zone and like being
in my
head
a little
bit. I find
on the competition floor, I don't listen to music because I think I like to take in the atmosphere.
Oh yeah, I'm the same.
And get a feel for, because I find that if I had my earphones in and then I take them out just before I'm about to compete, I've tried it before and it feels
different.
Yeah, it feels like a bit of a shock almost, a little bit more eerie, it's a little bit more nerve-wracking.
Yeah, because I guess you're kind of in your head when you've got headphones and then when you take it out it's like you're opening yourself out to the world again, so I personally wouldn't like to do that because I like being in the environment, I like being in the moment.
Yeah.
I like being able to take everything in before I get on the trampoline.
Yeah. Favourite film?
I think my all-time favourite film is probably, you know, something really cheesy like The Notebook, but also...
Oh, an emotional film.
I do like emotional films. But also, one of my favourite films is Coraline.
What's that? I've not seen that.
It's a really uniquely animated film about this girl who finds a trapdoor in her house and she goes through it, and on the other side is a parallel universe, but everyone in this parallel universe has buttons for eyes.
Yeah.
And it's really creepy, and her parents in this parallel universe are evil, but she doesn't realise they're evil till the end, and they try and do things that keep her in that parallel universe, they try and stop her from going back to her normal life, I guess.
What's about that film?
I've never been able to pinpoint exactly what it is about the film. I think it's just the animation and the storylines. The storyline's really unique. It's not like anything I've ever
Is it an older film?
It's quite old, yeah. I think it came out like early 2000s.
Okay.
But I've always loved it. Like, I never get bored of watching it. I'm also quite a fan of like thriller / horror films.
Yeah.
And it's kind of along those lines.
Okay.
So I think that's why it appealed to me the most.
Nice.
I'm also a fan of like rom-coms, comedies. I like a lot of films, to
cheese.
Be honest.
Cheese.
Yeah, a lot of cheese.
And a series.
Typical
like a series.
Girly films as well,
What's your biggest motivation?
I think in general, not even just as an athlete, I think the thing that motivates me the most would be knowing that there's no limits to what we can do as humans.
Yeah.
And knowing that I'm never going to get to a point where I'd be like, oh, I've done everything I want to do. There's always going to be something else that I can achieve and something new that I can do. So I think that's the one thing that helps me keep motivated, whether it's, you know, to get out of bed in the morning or, you know, to try my best in training.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that I think, is the biggest one. But I also think I'm very self-motivated, and I don't know whether there's a specific thing that helps me motivate myself, but I find I'm always, whether I'm struggling with training or anything else, I always find that I'm good at just getting in my head a little bit and picking myself up and doing it myself instead of relying on other people or other things to motivate me.
If you could meet anyone in the world, who would it be and why?
Ooh, that's also a good question.
used to be Justin Bieber.
Oh, that was a long time ago.
I remember that.
Difficult question, because I feel like there are a lot of people I'd want to meet for different reasons.
Yeah,
like there are athletes I'd want to meet because they're successful and, you know, for the just to be able to say that I've met them, but also athletes I'd want to meet because they have been through
a lot in
their career, they've got a good story behind them, and then obviously like people outside of sport who have done a lot of good for the world, like campaigning for, you know, like LGBT rights, campaigning for feminism, campaigning for
you know, environmental stuff.
Yeah.
So I think it's hard to pinpoint one person in particular. I just like to meet someone who I think has done something good for themselves, but also for the human population as well.
Yeah. Oh, cool. So I know that you've just done a judging course, is that right?
I have, yes, I did. Last October, I believe.
And have you actually judged any competition since then?
I have, yes, I've judged several.
You did one last week, didn't you? The other week, I did.
I've judged mainly at our regional competitions,
which
are the qualifiers for the regional finals. So that's kind of more of a grassroots level.
Yeah. So you also coach, don't you, at grassroots level?
Yes. Well, actually, I do coach at all levels.
Okay.
So I've coached from recreation all the way up to elite.
Yeah.
But mainly I do the development side of it at club.
What do you think you prefer, judging or coaching?
I think the majority of the time I prefer judging.
Yeah.
Because I, as an athlete, I like knowing
who's coming up and...
Not even that. I like being able to put myself...
The code.
Yeah, being able to put myself on the other side of it and being able to watch and be like, oh, okay, that's what makes it a two deduction, that's what makes this a three deduction.
Yeah.
And just seeing and being able to understand what can change a judge's perception on different people. Because I've judged different people several times.
Yeah.
But actually, they've done the same skills, but I've given it different deductions.
Yeah. So you think your judging has impacted your trampolining career?
Yeah,
yourself?
I think it's helped me understand the way the judges see things and how you can change the way you trampoline to please the judge's eye a little bit more.
Yeah.
I love coaching as well.
Yeah.
I find it really rewarding and I like being able to help people reach whatever goal they want to reach in the sport.
So you don't have a preference whether it's grassroots or...
No, not at all. No, I just like knowing that I can help people learn new stuff and have fun.
Yeah.
That's the main thing I like to do as a coach at the end of the day, is help people have fun.
Yeah.
I always like knowing that the people that I've coached are leaving with a smile on their face and that they've had fun in that session.
Yeah. And so post-trampolining, which is probably some time off, well,
hopefully
some time off, can you see yourself being a judge or a coach more as...
I can see myself being both at some point. I think I would definitely like to be an elite level coach, but I think more on a club side of things instead of being a national coach or something like that. I think I'd like to work more in a club, but also I can see myself being a judge as well. I'd like to be an international judge at some point. It's just finding the time to get all the qualifications.
So you'd like to, definitely. So you'd like to be involved in trampolining post your athletic career?
Yes, I think so, but not for the rest of my life. I think only for a maximum of 10-15 years, just whilst I get myself prepared for what I want to do after that, which is go into crime and working in the police force and working around that sort of area, I guess. So I think
has that always been a passion?
My family all have a history of being police officers, so I think it must be in the genes or something. But yeah, crime enforcement's always been a very dominant area of my interest. So ultimately I would love to go into that side of things, but I would definitely like to stay in the sport post athletic career, because obviously it's been in my life for such a long time, and I think I would like to be on the other side of things and help other people enjoy the sport as well.
Give back what I've been able to. Cool. Okay, last question.
Okay,
probably the best one yet. If you weren't a trampoline gymnast, what sport would you have done, do you think?
I think I definitely would have done swimming.
Okay.
Because, as I said a minute ago...
Is your mum a swimming coach?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, no, swimmer.
A swimmer.
My mum and my grandma were both very good swimmers.
Okay.
So I think, again, it's probably in the genes somewhere. I think I have quite a good physique for a swimmer.
Yeah.
Got, like, long levers, got long limbs. And I find swimming quite easy naturally, and also it's a very good way to keep fit.
Yeah.
I think it can be quite enjoyable. So I think if I was to say like naturally which one would I be, I'd probably be a swimmer. But if I could choose another one that I could do, it'd probably be something really completely different to trampoline, like skiing.
Yeah, or something. I was going to say, is there a
something
sport
extreme, but yeah, something completely different?
That adrenaline rush that you get from trampolining.
I do like the adrenaline rush.
Is there a sport you haven't tried that you'd want to try?
I think ski jump. I would love to try a ski jump.
I can do that.
For the adrenaline of it.
Absolutely, you could not.
I don't know if I could compete. I'd be so scared. Yeah, for the adrenaline, I think ski jump would be amazing.
I think I'd get the fear doing that. I don't think I could do that. I think you have to be so brave to do ski jump.
I also used to do a lot of horse riding when I was younger, so I think also horse riding would be one that I would like to explore and see if...
Do jumps and stuff.
I used to do a few competitions when I was younger, but never got to a level where I was doing the more extreme side of it. So I think that would be interesting to explore as a different career option.
Cool.
I feel like every sport has its...
You're a sports fan as well, you know?
Definitely. I love sport in general.
We're always talking about sport. Well, thank you very much, Izzy.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Make sure you follow Sportspiel on social media. Search for Sportspiel Pod on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or on LinkedIn.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. I am this time joined by my teammate and Rio Olympic silver medalist, legend Bryony Page.
Hello.
Okay, how are you finding Japan so far?
I'm really enjoying it. I've found the jet lag a little bit difficult to start with. It's our third or fourth day in and still feeling tired at like midday and actually all throughout the day. But I'm maybe just coming out of the end of that. So I'm hoping I'll have a good night's sleep tonight and then tomorrow we'll be
getting into the swing of it.
Yeah.
Very glad that we came out early to get used to everything. Okay, so I just want to go back to how you got into the sport in the first... How old were you when you started trampolining?
Yeah.
And I know you've got two brothers. Mm-hmm. Was it something that they took part in as well?
Well, it was just me to start with for trampolining. My brothers did actually end up trying it later on, but it was after me. But mainly both my mum and dad are quite sporty, especially my dad. And we kind of got involved in lots of different sports as children. I wasn't very good at them, like football. I just ended up doing cartwheels across the grass and playing with the grass with my friends, like, was really young. So I wasn't really interested in that. I had a go at tennis, again, just wasn't that good at it. I enjoyed both of them.
Were you always competitive with your brothers?
I think I was, Well, Marcus is 6 years younger than me.
Okay.
So I don't think I was competitive with him to start with, but then as he started to get better at stuff, as he started to, like, we played table tennis and things like that, I found it really frustrating if he was getting better than me.
Yeah.
But Jack was, like, he was really good at everything, but nothing, he doesn't stick with anything because he just enjoys having a whole handful of
doing
stuff.
So
he when he did trampolining, he got to, the second highest level nationally, like, really quickly, within a year. And was like, it picked it up way quicker than I did. But it just wasn't for him. He just likes moving on. He was a twister.
Okay.
So he could twist really easily. So I think when he started to do more twists than me, that kind of spurred me on to try and learn those skills. So I just kind of got involved in those different sports from a young age, and then a friend from dance did gymnastics, started gymnastics, and then that's how I got involved in trampolining.
So you did trampolining alongside gymnastics?
Yeah, for a bit. It was more, I started gymnastics, and then, this was back when we lived in the States, so we used to live in America, then moved over, really enjoyed gymnastics, but the centre that I was at didn't have the qualified coaches for gymnastics to go further, but the trampoline squad was kind of very competitive, and the coach was kind of going through the rankings and the qualification process to get better. But it was actually quite lucky, I think. It just happened to fall into place because when I was doing my gymnastics classes, I always watched the trampolining and wished I was being part of that.
Yeah.
I was like, I really want to do that. When are we going on the trampoline? When can we get to bounce? So it actually worked out really well that it ended up being the more competitive side anyway.
Yeah.
Because I did enjoy it and I wanted to be on the trampoline all the time.
Did you compete in America as well?
No,
Until you came to the UK. How old were you when you started competing?
I think I was nine.
Okay.
Yeah. I started when I was nine, and I remember my first competition was like a tariff competition.
Yeah.
And when we entered, I only just started in the squad, so I was doing like half twists and full twists and swivel hips, so sick body landings. No somersaults. So, but by the time we got to the competition, I was doing like in training straight backs and Biranis and like the
more
tariff. I was definitely been entered in the wrong tariff category at that time, but obviously,
yeah.
So it was quite funny that it was like, don't, my coach was saying, don't do any somersaults, like in the warm ups, nothing. Don't do somersaults. You're not going to be able to do them yet. I was like, okay.
The more basic skills. Yeah. That's funny that you remember it so clearly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was me, Kate McKenzie, and Rachel Dodd. And we were like one team, and we came first, second, and third, and won the team event. And yeah, it was really cool.
And it's funny because I don't remember seeing you at any. I only did two world age group competitions. Mm-hmm. Where I think in the team, I think Izzy and Kat both did quite a lot of mm-hmm. junior competitions. But in terms of majors, I only did 2005 and 2007 mm-hmm. world age, and I did 2006 European youth as well. But you didn't do any major championships at youth level. Is there a reason, or you just chose not to? Or
yeah, there was. I think the first few years, we weren't sure of the club that we were at was quite a new club. So I think the first few years that I was involved in the national level, we weren't really sure how to apply. We just thought, we thought people just chose you.
Yeah.
And also. I guess we weren't sure where I would be in the mix anyway. But when it came to actually knowing how the application process works and how people kind of select you, and you put in your,
put your
entry to the trial process. And I was just always fifth or sixth, seventh in the team. So, and four go.
Yeah.
So I was always just missing out. Until it came to the kind of the final year, where it was
2007, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was like you could either trial for the ladies in the senior event, or you could go for your junior. You couldn't choose.
I remember
both.
That trial. That was at Loughborough, wasn't it?
I think it didn't go very
quite
well
a few. I think I had gone for that as well, but just had gone for junior and ladies at that time. But I know you could only do one at that time. But I do remember that trial.
Yeah, I didn't do very well.
So I remember that.
I just wasn't one of the top
ready
youths. I wasn't one of the top youths. It was always, I was always trying to fit into that kind of that team of four. I was always fifth or sixth.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I was named as a non-traveling reserve once, during the kind of earlier years. But it wasn't until kind of just about transitioning into senior where I was finally selected for just a kind of a friendly international as a junior. Just when I actually competed nationally, I always felt I stepped up.
Yeah.
So I did better than I would have at home.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's cool. So how did you find the move into senior? Did you feel more? How did that affect you?
I guess
having
I just didn't
done
know
any
different,
majors.
Though.
Yeah. So you just started afresh.
Yeah. I just didn't know any different. I didn't know what to expect from a major. So when I was selected for. Finally made a team for a major championships. It was a European championship. So it's one of my favourite stories because I had no idea what to expect from it.
Yeah.
It was the week where the Icelandic volcano of ash erupted.
Was this in 2010?
In 2010.
So 2010 Europeans was your first senior competition.
Yeah.
Cool.
So it was for the major championships, European championships. And so we weren't able to get to Bulgaria via plane because...
Yeah.
All the planes have been shut down because of the ash cloud. So we had to travel by bus
all
the way
I remember I was meant to be on that trip, but I got injured the week after the trial. So I remember hearing all the stories about all the palaver that you had to go through to
get
there.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I was like, this is great. I get to talk to the people. I get to, because I hadn't been on a team like that before.
Yeah.
It was really nice to get to know people better.
What a way to enter the...
And then when we arrived, it was you get one day of training and then you get to compete, and I was like, okay, well,
thrown
that's
in at the
fine
deep end.
Whereas everyone else was like, what's going on, we normally get this and this, and I was like, I didn't know any different, so it's fine.
So you're thrown in into the deep end straight away.
Yeah, definitely.
How long did it take to get there?
I don't know, it
was just
3 days or something.
It was
ridiculous.
That is crazy,
but we made it.
How
we
did
were
you
able
get
to
on
compete. I think I finished 15th.
Yeah, nice.
So yeah, I
completed two routines.
Yeah.
I think my downfall was my final skill on my second routine, where I did a double banana back straight. Like, it was meant to be double straight back, but I didn't put enough in. So I did, like, one somersault with bananaed, and then the end was, like, pike down.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was, like, everyone in the crowd just went, ugh, like, for that last skill. Like, I wasn't going to get round.
So I know one of your passions is designing leotards. Is that something you'd like to do? I know you have your own collections at the moment, but, like, is that something you'd like to do, like, later on after you finish? Or
I'd like to continue with that, if possible. So once I finish with competitive trampoline, I want to go to Cirque.
Yeah.
I'd like love to join the circus or some sort of,
What would you like to do in Cirque?
I don't know. I think some, maybe the netting or...
Is that from the Russian swing, is it?
Yeah, I could do that. Yeah. Or they've got ones where it's, like, trampoline... which is like kind of suspended from the ceiling, sort of
on an angle.
They've got an angle one. They've also got one that's like just horizontal, but it's above the net, and you just kind of jump from the trampoline off onto the net. They've also got the trampoline wall. But what I really like to try is, I won't obviously go into a show of this because I haven't got the upper body strength, but I'd really like to have a go at the trapeze.
I'm sure you're stronger than you think.
And maybe have a go at the silks as well.
Yeah.
Because I think they look stunning. So.
Yeah, it does look pretty amazing.
The one thing I actually... that when I watch a show...
Yeah.
The clowns, the clown acts, maybe... I'm more impressed by the acrobatic stuff than the clowns.
Yeah.
But when I actually, if I was to think about being a clown... I think I'd really enjoy that, and I'd find it really funny.
It actually looks like quite hard work to me, being a clown.
Yeah, because you have to be, like, good enough to be able to be bad at something. Like,
yeah.
So I think it's quite funny, so...
Yeah.
I'd enjoy being a clown, even though it's not my favourite part of the show to watch. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the lit-up thing.
Yeah. Sorry, I diverted you then.
So, like, after that... if I could still design leotards when doing Cirque, that would be amazing. If I could still work with a leotard company with that. But it's something I've always wanted to do, and I've always enjoyed it. So I would think I would always continue to enjoy it.
Yeah.
So I do design leotards in the time, but it's what it used to be a hobby. Now it's, like, consider, like, a little bit of work. It's fun work, but I still would say I'd put it in that class of, like, oh, I've just got some work to do with designing leotards, rather than I'm just going to draw some leotards for fun.
Yeah.
Like, I do that anyway, but I've really enjoyed doing that. I play the flute. So
okay.
Maybe I could bring that to the lodge. If you'd let me. Can have a play around.
Have you played any other instruments? Didn't you play the violin?
No, my little brother played the violin for a bit, and I had a little go at that. But the flute's my, like, main instrument, and then I've had a go at the saxophone and my own oboe as well, because the keys are quite similar. What I really like doing, I like watching movies. And playing board games. I'm not sure that everybody in the team is really keen on board games. I'm really keen on board games, so that's safe. The board game stuff is safe for, like, family and friends back at home and in Sheffield as well.
I do love a board game, but I have to be
in the right frame of mind
for a board game.
See, I'm like, we'll play board games, and it's depending on what my frame of mind is what board game we'll play.
Yeah.
So I'm always in the mind to play board game, but depending on how I feel.
So you're interested in lots of things. I heard you like a bit of samba as well. Is that true?
Oh, salsa, yeah.
Salsa, not samba.
Yeah, I don't know what samba... Is samba also a sort of dance?
Is it maracas? Do you have a maracas? Is it a shaker?
Yeah, no, like any sort of, like... I guess that sort of dance. It's salsa because my auntie took me to a salsa lesson, like, earlier this year. And it was just, my brain just switched off. So I wasn't thinking about anything in, like, regards to trampolining or, it was just absolutely switched off and really focused on dance. And
you reckon you'd like to have a go on Strictly?
Oh my God, please. If you're listening, please get me on the show, because I would absolutely love that. That or, like, Dancing on Ice or, anything like that, I'd absolutely love.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
No, I don't think I'd be very good at it, but. No, I'd be... please, if you're listening, be the best person you've ever had. No, I think it would be funny, because I'm not a very good dancer, but I'd really try.
Yeah.
I'd really try. And I think dancing is about enjoying yourself, so at least I'd have a smile on my face and hopefully put a smile on others.
It sort of ties into my next question, because you are so open to trying new things. Like, I remember when you did your 100-day challenge, and that was something that...
you seemed to really enjoy. You were trying lots of different things.
Yeah.
And one thing in particular you seem to like to do is try new food.
Yeah.
And obviously with our sport, we were lucky enough to travel around the world and been to some awesome places. And with that, we've been able to try lots of different foods and lots of different various things. What's the nicest food that you've tried?
It actually is, I've got two things. It actually is Japanese food, is my favourite type of food. So when I'm in Japan, I love the food here. Yeah. So, which is nice that we're here for like a couple of weeks. The second thing was, I remember having, sorry, vegetarian. So I remember having a really, really nice juicy steak in Poland for one of the World Cups I did. And I just remember it being like the best steak I've ever had.
Yeah.
So for something like that to stick in my memory has to be pretty good.
Yeah.
But yeah, normally it's like the Japanese food is actually my favourite.
Yeah. And what about the best place that you visited for a competition or a training camp?
Yeah. Again, Japan, because I love the culture, but perhaps maybe I would like to say Rio.
I was just about to say, not Rio.
Yeah, to Rio. Like, I didn't get to see too much in the actual area, so after we competed, we did stay for a while after we competed, but I didn't want to not waste my time, that's the wrong way of putting it, but I wanted to prioritize my time to watch and support Team GB athletes and watch them compete in different sports.
Yeah.
And also just watch sports in general.
Yeah.
So instead of kind of seeing the Christ Redeemer, I ended up watching all the sports.
What was your favorite sport that you maybe haven't seen before that you watched it in Rio?
We watched water polo, and it was like so much more violent than I thought it was going to be. So I think that was interesting. It was difficult to kind of, because I didn't really know the rules, it was difficult to understand kind of what was happening, and because it's like underwater, you can't really see too much.
Yeah.
So I saw a lot of splashing and like just so much violence.
Yeah.
it was just really brutal.
Yeah.
So that was interesting to watch.
Yeah.
Watched wrestling, which was quite cool.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that live before.
Yeah.
So that was, I got really into that, and the match or the fight that I watched, I'm not sure what you'd say.
Is it the duel or something? Yeah, I don't know what it's called.
The fight, the one that we watched was actually really emotional, so because the lady like put her coach on the shoulders, and it was just really cool.
Yeah.
And we watched the hockey, which was really, that was absolutely incredible, because obviously like Great Britain got all the way to the final and won, so that was amazing. And I did used to play hockey in school, so I kind of understood a little bit of the rules.
And did you, because obviously at Sheffield there's quite a lot of elite athletes around the gym, did you know anyone that you, did you manage to watch anyone that you have trained with?
I'm not sure if I got to watch anyone, but I did like bump into them, like Freddie from diving, tried to watch them on TV, and obviously the gymnastics, we trained with them, not in Sheffield, but back at Lillshaw, so we were able to watch, we went to watch Max, and that was incredible, and the team finals, and some of the team finals. So, yeah.
What was it like around the Athlete Village?
It was...
did it feel surreal?
Yeah, it was surreal. It was amazing. It was interesting and just buzzing. It was like the atmosphere was buzzing. Like, and it was just interesting because like we went to the canteen area, and it's like two football pitches long.
Yeah.
And you'll go and get your food, and there'll be a tiny little gymnast like Simone Biles, and then next to it will be like this massive like basketball player, and the just the height difference, and then you'll have a hammer thrower and like a synchronized swimmer.
Everyone
and like
together.
It's just different different shapes and sizes, different cultures, and
so
it's
much
just,
going on.
Yeah, and it's really just everyone's kind of, you know, in their zone, and they're competing, or they've just finished and they're partying, or some of them have done well, some of them have done not so well, and so it's really just, there's so much going on.
Was it as you
imagined? I expected. I think because I was part of the London Ambitions program, I was able to go into the village in London, and it was kind so I kind of, it was the same, but just in a different country.
Oh, amazing. And talking about Rio, obviously that's where you won, well, the trampoline's first ever for Great Britain medal. And how did that feel for you? Does that, obviously you got there you got to the final with Kat.
Mm-hmm.
How was that to be on the floor at an Olympic Games with a Great Britain teammate as well?
Yeah, I think having Kat there and like for us both to experience it together was something really special, because it was the first time that we'd qualified two girls into the competition, and then we qualified, both of us qualified into the final, so yeah. It was really nice to be able to share that and know that
a special moment.
Kat like continued after London and fought because she, you know, she finished just outside the finals, to know that she made the final,
she was so close in London.
It was excruciatingly painfully close, like
such
it was
a shame.
We knew that, and so for her to make final, we know that that was our like primary target. Well, obviously one could be our best, but knowing that for her that meant so much, it was really nice to have that, and also have the support from her to compete well in the final. Because kind of the pressure's shared a little bit.
So it was
nice to know that after the competition, whatever was to happen at the final, that both of us would be pleased for achieving that together.
I guess special on so many levels, like as an individual, as a team, for the trampoline program, for all the coaches and staff involved, I think for all of the juniors coming up, for your teammates. I think it was just a really special moment. I remember watching at home actually. Can you remember what exactly you felt when you finished, when you landed that last outbounce for your routine? Sometimes when you do a routine, it's such a blur, like even if you've done a really nice routine, or if you've done an average routine, sometimes it's hard to know. When you finished, did you know?
I can remember it now as if it was like yesterday, that routine. And I remember how I felt in the first skill, and hearing the crowd in the second, and using that as kind of, they were like cheering, and using that as like, oh, if you know, if you thought that was good, I'm going to show you this. And I remember just being really super focused, and it just feeling really easy.
Totally in the zone.
Yeah, it was just really just... it was just me and the trampoline. Like I'd completely switched off that it was at Olympic Games, that there was, it was being judged, that there was an audience, that was being televised, like, and there was it was a competition. It was just me trying to feel a really good routine and make the most of it, because that was my target. I just wanted to do the best routine that I could
and enjoy every moment
and enjoy it. So, and I just, and I remember kind of coming to the end of kind of skill like 6 and 7, I remember it being like thinking, oh, this is going really well, but then like immediately going right
straight
focus
back in the moment,
and then thinking, right, let's push for this last bit, push higher, and just get it, just was right. It just like I'd done the sections of the routine in training, and I had one routine that was close to that one, but there was one thing off. That was just everything that I
came
could
together
do
at the right time for you.
Everything that I could do that I felt like I'd done in sections, I put in together for that routine, and it was just the best that I could have done.
Did you have those like instructive voices in your head
it's such a strange thing
because in a routine it just goes so quickly, and you have like a second if that to think about what you're doing, but you somehow manage to think, kick out arms, tight legs, point your toes, like chin up, that sort of thing. Like do you remember that, or were your voices quite quiet?
No, I had two different things. So I think because we had so much training under our belt, like it was automatic, but it was like I could have the voices, I didn't have to think about the voices, they just told me what to do. But then it meant that I could enjoy it at the same time and really appreciate spinning around. So it was like sometimes when you're training, you just really focus on the voice and you have to really, really focus. It was like I was naturally focused, which allowed some section of my brain to just be like, this is going well.
I guess
I'm
that's
enjoying
what,
this. Like, it was really, really interesting.
I guess that's what preparation and all of those elements just feel like when they all come together. It's just pretty special. Can you remember what Tracy said to you when you got off the trampoline?
I don't know if I can. I just remember like...
Smiling, grinning, for the next 48 hours or something.
I finished my routine and we do an out jump, and I remember thinking, like, that was kind of when I switched my this focus, I'm saying, to going, oh my god, that was an Olympic final, and this is what this is going to be judged like. That was kind of when I, it was like complete focus to like what's just happened.
Yeah.
And just then kill the trampoline.
Be so emotional as well.
Yeah,
like,
and
everything.
Like, yeah, I just turned to her and we were just, and she was like,
year.
That is what you've worked for. So I can't remember when, what her exact words, but kind of walking up to the, we kind of do our little debrief anyway. I was like, oh, and I pushed this and this felt good. And she was like, yeah, like, you know, that was, that is what you trained for. You've worked so hard for this. Like, it's so nice to see it pay off. This was before we got any results. And then she was like, just enjoy the moment. Just enjoy this, because like that was exactly what we wanted. Like we just enjoy it and well done, and that was awesome.
Amazing.
Not quite those words, but
and you and Kat smashed it. It was really good. I think my second favorite memory of that games though was watching your medal ceremony.
Oh, no. I know exactly what you're gonna say. Is this not my favorite part?
No. You were taking the moment in so much.
So much.
That you walked past the podium.
And then bumped into the Olympic champion, who had to then put me back to second place.
I thought that was brilliant. That was so funny.
Yeah, I'm blaming it on the Team GB, on the GB people.
It just shows you're like completely human, and you were
one job at this point, so it was just to walk behind and get to the podium. But the thing is, because like I was so emotional that when they kind of gave the instructions, I wasn't listening at all. I was just kind of like, oh my god, this is happening. I wasn't listening. So I thought when we marched in that we would, there was a podium in front of us, I thought we were going to march round the podium and then stand at the back rather than just walk to the end of the podium. So I thought we had to do kind of a little circle around it. So, and as I was getting round to the back of the podium, that's when I heard the GB people in the crowd, so that our support staff and our support team cheering. So I turned to look at them and wave, and that's when I bumped into Rosie. So I thought we had more time to walk, so it was just like
I thought that was brilliant. I think
it's so embarrassing.
It's not embarrassing at all. There's nothing to be embarrassed about.
That's funny.
I think another
in my little bubble
thing that would be really cool to know is what like outside of the trampoline, what was your best memory of the games? Either before or after you competed and won that medal, was it just being able to take everything in around and the buzz of everything, or was it meeting someone special?
So it was on the evening. I don't know if this kind of relates to the medal though, so I can choose another one if you want. But for me, it was after the competition. Me and Paul got to so my personal coach, we were able to just go around and do a bit of media, and then we had to wait, like we waited for a taxi for like an hour to come and pick us up, to then travel us for a while to get to the British house, which is like this, it's where it's kind of a party zone, like a kind of a just a chilled atmosphere. It's all really beautifully lit up, and it's for where you can meet your nearest and dearest. So I'm like, this is where I was going to see my mum and dad, because they came out to watch me in Rio. And I couldn't spot them in the crowd. I tried to spot them in the crowd at the competition so that I could like kind of wave and say hi and like, oh my god, this has happened, but I couldn't spot them. So I hadn't been able to contact them because we've been doing so much media. So finally got to the British house, and I was thinking we'll just walk in the back or like wherever and just find them. And that's where Paul was like, oh, let me hold your bag. I was like, it's all right, I can carry my own bag, it's fine to be doing this. He's like, no, give me your bag. I'm like, what is going on? And he was like, give me your bag. And then we got to the, so this lady came to join us, and she's got a radio, and she's like, okay, Bryony's arrived. And and I was like, what's going on? So what happened was they took us to the front entrance, the main entrance, and they went, I just heard the voice saying like, and please welcome in the Olympic silver medalist, Bryony Page. And like, it's like this little red carpet, and you go to a stage where someone's going to interview you. And so I'm like high-fiving people as I walk past and just taking it all in. And they're like, the guys interviewing me is like, what are you going to do next? I'm like, well, I'm going to go to the gym and try some PBs. Because I wasn't able to do that before the comp, so I kind of want to see how strong I can get. Everyone's like, you're not going to go party? And I'm like, well. But that's when I spotted my parents in the audience. And I was like, please, can I go and see my mum and dad? I haven't seen them. And that for me was
my favourite part was being able to kind of, oh God, I'm getting a bit choked up, was being able to kind of share that moment with my parents, because yeah. they'd obviously supported me since I first started trampolining and yeah. well, my whole life obviously, but
I'm sure that it's was just something, I'm sure they were very emotional when
it was fantastic. They were, it was just seeing so much happiness all at once,
yeah,
all of us just everything. Experiencing it. And we went through like we obviously together we got messages from our Jack
other
and Marcus
members, yeah,
yeah, and yeah, and other family members, but Marcus had, we like saw his Facebook post and he'd been at home watching it with his friends, and all of his friends were like gathered around, and they had a picture with each of them had a wine bottle in their hand, and
yeah.
like as if they were downing the wine bottle, and Marcus said, well, you did say we could all have a drink like to toast
yeah.
this,
yeah,
so that was quite funny. And then Jack had posted something really, really lovely about so when I this morning or yes last night posted about being so proud of my sister who's going to compete at the Olympic Games, so you want to watch her, now I've never been so proud. It was just really
aww.
Sweet, yeah.
Yeah,
oh gosh.
And it's things that you don't hear every day.
Mm.
It's things that I don't know. I think people hold back sometimes, like
mm.
including probably ourselves as well. And then I think in moments like that, people just let go a little bit, don't they? And they
yeah.
say what they've actually
yeah.
been thinking
yeah.
and don't.
It was amazing
because you can get swept up in that moment, which is just the best thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was absolutely wonderful. Like, and so many messages that evening,
yeah.
so
yeah.
many messages like from friends, family, random people on Twitter. Like,
did you go through them all that night?
I did,
or did you,
yeah.
yeah.
I thought, oh, I'll just do my normal like 10-minute
yeah.
social media thing before bed, and ended up like I think I had 1 hour sleep because
yeah.
it was like 3 a.m. by the time I'd finished.
You're never
really
gonna have that night back again,
no.
though, are you?
No,
so it's like a
I was so tired, but it was just
yeah.
I was just going to do my like 10-minute thing. I was like, oh my God,
it
what's
takes,
happened?
Yeah, because the competition just, it does, it takes
mm.
so much out of you.
Mm.
Like that whole,
I was
how
exhausted.
Long did it take to recover from that whole experience?
Still recovering now. it was weird. It was, I was on a high for like eight, like I was on like cloud, what is it called? You know,
cloud nine.
Cloud
yeah.
nine. I was like,
I don't know where
yeah,
I came from actually.
Yeah, but I was just, I felt invincible for
yeah.
months and months. Like,
yeah.
I was like, nothing can bring me down from how I was feeling. Like,
yeah.
if someone was to, if, you know, I had a massive injury and I had to chop off my leg, like, I'd be able to deal with
yeah.
it. Like, I felt
yeah.
invincible. I'll be like, I can be happy. Like, it was just, I'd never felt that.
Happiness
like it. Yeah, it was just so much emotion. And it was like, because it'd been, what, 16 years in the making. It was 16 years of, like...
Yeah.
hard work, like overcoming so many different obstacles, like especially the last few years leading up to the games that were like really difficult for me,
yeah,
like on so many different levels, like injury, emotion, and like
yeah.
personal life. So it was just kind of being able, like the fact that I kind of didn't give up and
yeah.
I really wanted to achieve my potential, and I finally did. And it was just,
and what makes that even more special is that it is clear to see, and I
mm.
think that will, you know, be passed on. I think that's just so inspiring for the
oh,
younger
you.
The younger guys that are coming up.
Mm.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, I think it's like, if you're, because my journey's quite different to, I guess, everybody's
journey's
different,
journey, yeah.
but not being part of like a junior, like major championships, it, and then getting into senior, and then doing okay, and then building up. It's just like, it just goes to show that
It can happen.
Yeah, you can start later. You can not be the best in your age group at the time. Like,
yeah.
you can just... I think it's just...
Enjoy your journey.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
it
yeah.
is. And that's something that I did take from the games was... It was 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That's how long it was. And it's one competition.
Yeah.
Like, it's one day. And it's 16 years worth and then one day.
Yeah.
And it's like, you've got to make that 16 years worth or however long you decide to continue for. You've got to make that bit just as enjoyable or more.
Yeah.
Because... It's like that you spent, you know, one day or 16 years of enjoyment. Like, it's just,
yeah.
I find it really difficult to understand athletes that don't enjoy their sport, because it's like, how can you spend all that time just for 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Or it's not even that, just for one day. It's just...
Or just in life, like,
yeah.
how it's, life is precious,
yeah.
isn't it? Is life
and
short?
It's like, just want to enjoy it and
yeah.
make the most of it and take everything in and learn as much as I possibly can. So,
yeah.
It was like that. A nice realization,
and I guess that's what's driven you after the
mm.
after the games. Because I can imagine, like you said, you felt exhausted, and after that you had a bit of a I think you were waiting to sort it out after the games anyway, yeah. You know, your ankle, and then you're coming back fit and strong, and what sort of got you through that time? Was it the motivation of Tokyo, or was it just you still had unfinished things that you wanted to do, and you just enjoyed it? Like, you clearly still love it. I can see that in training, like, all the time, like and you still like pushing to get, you know, like Izzy said, you know, there's no limits to what you can do on the trampoline, or in life.
Yeah, I kind of want to find where my limits are. It's almost like, where are those boundaries?
You want to reach your potential. I think that's the goal of a lot of every athlete.
I feel like there's more in me in terms of difficulty as well. Yeah. Like, I'm working hard on getting a different routine. Like,
it's one not thing quite there yet, training, but it's getting there. And another thing competing it, and then another thing being able to
do it all the
sustain that training, like get that consistent training, because it's such a high impact on your body. 15 times your body weight is huge. But yeah, so that is the main motivation, just your love of the sport.
I don't want to be doing anything else right now. Like, that's what I want to do is trampolining. As my main thing is, as long as I can.
Coaching,
I do enjoy coaching, but I definitely like
have some stuff to do first.
I've still got more in me, and I'd like to compete a hard routine, and I would like to compete at major championships and succeed there for what I feel is my potential. So I've got close at world championships before, like in 2010, my first major one. At that time I think I did one of the best routines I could have done. I've done a few Europeans where I finished fourth, but I was way off what I could do.
Yeah.
So it was...
It is hard in trampoline. You literally get that one shot. You can't fall off and get back on again. You're off, or you're on. There isn't much in between. It's frustrating in that respect, but it's also what makes it so exciting. Yeah. And like,
and that's what you're pinnicky for, like all the tiny little details to just... get that extra 0.1 or 0.001 now with the time flight machine and stuff. So or 0.005, I think.
So exciting times.
It is, yeah. There's more in me, and I just want to try and
just keep
see what
it.
That is, and push myself, and if I can compete in other Olympic Games, that would be fantastic. To experience that again and just be part of Team GB was like a dream. So
and just keep loving it.
Yeah.
Okay, so just to finish off, just got a few questions, a few random questions for you. You can answer them in as long or short as you'd like. And I've asked the other girls this, but do you have a favourite quote?
Yes, I've got like a mantra.
Yeah.
The only person you should try and be better than is the person you were yesterday.
I know that one.
Yeah. It's on my motivational poster. And I learned it in Portuguese ready for Brazil.
Yeah.
Not that I can remember it now. I can't remember it at all. But if I can, it's like I learned two different phrases
in the lead up to Rio, or is that something you've always, is that a quote that you've always liked?
It definitely since 2015, because that's when I did my motivational poster in the 100-day challenge.
Yeah, I remember
day 50, I think it was. Could have been day 75, but I think it was day 50. But so it must have been before then. I'm not sure when I first started to use that, but so that's been like four or five years now.
Go on then, the best challenge that you did in your 100-day challenge, which was your favourite?
Well, my favourite one, I was probably going to visit my grandma, and there was like a weekend there. There was a peak challenge, so it was like we went walking in the peaks and then like jumping into a cold river sort of thing. Watched Limberland, Bill Bailey, saw that live. That was incredible. Like, I was laughing so hard. I was literally like stamping my feet on the floor and crying with laughter. Like, it was so good. So that was up there as well. Tandem bike riding. That was cool. Yeah.
Nice. If you weren't a trampoline gymnast, what would you be?
If I could choose to be anything.
Yeah, anything.
Superhero? No.
kind of superhero?
Oh, I don't know. One could fly. I think would be figure skating, ice skating, because that's where I first kind of, that's the first Olympic memory that I have, was watching Tara Lipinski. And it's, you still get, you know, you get to wear the really nice like dresses, leotards, like it's still sort of spinning and athletic, but also it's athletic, but it's also aesthetic.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, something that you want to and it's something playful that you get to be creative and express yourself, so
yeah,
it's a really nice sport. I love it, so I'll choose that maybe.
one word that best describes you, if you could sum you up in one word, what would it be?
Weird. No, wait.
No, think of a nice way.
A nice
way. Well, I suppose weird, everyone's weird, aren't they?
Okay. I don't know. I just used like three, kind, maybe. What do you think?
Yeah.
What would you say?
I'd say...
For you, and what would you say for me?
I don't know what I'd say for me.
it's hard. One word's like, oh.
It is really hard.
Creative?
Yeah, and interested.
Interested.
Or curious. Is that like... Yeah, you always like to know...
Inquisitive.
Like, inquisitive. Like, you always like to... You're interested in lots of things. You like to try everything. Yeah, I think it is hard. It depends what you're trying to think of. Yeah, adventurous. Yeah, you're definitely open to trying everything. Like, I remember in France when you asked that random guy if you could have a go on a Segway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just, you know,
you do
there's
like
so many
to try
things,
things
that look interesting. I just want to try them out.
I don't know if you answered this one earlier. I don't think you did.
Okay.
The first thing that you did after you won the silver medal, after you left the Olympic Stadium, what was the first thing that you did? Can you remember?
Oh, doping control.
Oh, doping control. Did you have to
no, after
drugs
I
leave,
yeah, do, after... So when
so
I left,
you left
the competition
this,
floor
yeah,
or the
after
actual
you left
station?
The arena and everything's...
So we had media... after we left
just
the arena,
yeah,
we did media and then we did doping control. After that, that's when I met with Paul and we got into a golf buggy and drove our way into the next into, media area.
Right.
So it was literally just media. Doping control as well.
What about when you got house. Home then?
First thing I did was I just got into bed and went on social media.
Just caught up on everything.
Yeah, because by this point it was probably 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And then
well,
after
you flew home.
Oh, is that what you mean? Sorry.
No, I'm interested in it all actually. It's quite interesting to
first
know what you
did. First thing I
did
when I flew home, it was, I think, our family friend Derek and my brother were stood outside of Manchester Airport with a banner that they'd made.
Oh.
Saying, go, Bryony.
That's
so
lovely. So
it was just like catching up with Marcus and Derek in the car.
Yeah.
And then probably go to sleep.
Yeah.
My friend came around, one of my best friend from primary school who lives across the road and I keep in touch with her now still. But she came around with a Olympic cake that she'd baked. So she's crafts cakes.
So sweet.
She gave one of her cakes and she'd like, it was like a trampoline and there was a figurine of me that she'd made out of icing.
Yeah.
And, it was really cute. She was like very happy for us and her mum came around as well. So.
That's
yeah.
so cute.
It was probably just sleeping and chatting with people. I actually don't remember. I wish I did. That's why.
You listen to lots of things, like TED Talks and things. Mm. What's your favourite podcast?
Oh, so I just started to get into podcasting.
Other
than Sportsbill, obviously. I listen to, Off the Menu. Is it called Off the Menu? It's with James Acaster. And they talk about food. and he's one of my favourite comedians, I think, because he's really kind of off the wall and just quirky.
Yeah.
And I like the way that he speaks. So he's nice to listen to as well as, like, they get different guests on.
Oh, so that's what you're laughing out loud at when you're warming up.
Yeah.
Now I know.
Yeah. So I listen to that. I try to use my time a little bit more wisely, and it was suggested to me to listen to podcasts. And they have to choose their... what their dream meal would be and he's a genie and he can make anything and then I've started watching my dad wrote a porno which is really funny because like he reads out chapters of the book and he's with his friends and they're just like kind of taking the mickey out of it and like laughing and being like, how comfortable do you feel that this was your dad writing this? I've been laughing at that recently. So
what's your go-to strategy to help you stay calm in competitions?
Is it
something to do with breathing or is
I was thinking breathing. So if I'm not calm, it would be going to talk to Tracy.
Yeah.
If I'm feeling uncalm,
very calming.
I just talk to her and say
I'm really nervous.
Just say, I'd go up to Tracy and I'd say like, I'm feeling really shaky, I'm feeling nervous. Any top tips, wise words, words of wisdom. But if hopefully I won't get to a stage where I'm like, I'm really, really worrying.
Yeah.
It would be like, but if I notice it early enough, it would just be breathing techniques.
Sometimes
standing on one foot sometimes helps to me.
Sometimes it's just having that outside just comfort.
Distraction
and,
as well.
Yeah. And I think that's the benefit of working together. And is that, like, I guess Tracy knows this all so well now, is that we only have to give her a look or sometimes or just say something and she knows how to help us as we work through that with lots of different ways.
She's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I just kind of either try and feel my heartbeat and calm it down, slow it down by breathing techniques, and then I'll stand on one foot to kind of balance it, which means that I have to kind of lose that shakiness. I'll visualize my routine in my head.
Okay, last question. Who is your favorite athlete? Do you have a favorite athlete? It can be your a favorite athlete that you had. I mean, you mentioned the figure skater. I don't know if that was just a favorite memory or a favorite athlete. Just someone that you inspires you. Just I mean, it's maybe this a couple of people. Yeah. If that's
this is this was really difficult. I think I'm gonna choose Irina Karavieva.
Yeah, trampolinist.
Trampolinist, because she was someone that I watched a lot when I was younger, and she was absolute legend of the sport. She was our first Olympic champion. And she won her first world championships when she was like 15.
Yeah,
because you could compete in the senior event when you were that young at that time.
She had a high level of difficulty, so her skill level was huge.
Form was amazing.
Yeah, she was doing some combinations that no other woman would doing at the
time.
And
she drew Brandy out and Millers and both in a bowl. And
they're both multiple twisting skills.
And she competed like so consistently. She won so many different competitions. She was European champion, world champion, Olympic champion. She competed until she was what, 35, 36, maybe even 37,
and yet she's so gracious now, and she's judging, and you know, she's always makes so kind smile.
She's really supportive and kind when I first met her as well, and also she's has so much respect for the sport because there was a competition that she won a world championships event. And after the competition had finished, and they were at the kind of after, so once you get you on the podium, that's kind of the rules are that that stays.
Yeah.
But afterwards, she noticed that there was an error in one of the scores.
Yeah.
So she actually shouldn't have been the world champion, and it should have been Anna Duganatsi. So she said, like, she insisted to the competition, like, I'm not taking, I don't want my medal anymore. I wasn't the person, the rightful winner. I want to give it to the rightful winner, even though the rules state that she didn't have to. And she did that, so she gave up a world championships title. She didn't have to do that, and it was just like so much respect for sport and other athletes and competitors. Like, I just thought that was
humble.
It's really just humble. I think she has almost everything that you could ask for, if not everything in an athlete. The longevity of her career, the success, the compassion, the passion for a sport, the respect. Like, it's I'd say her, and the fact that she's a trampolinist.
Yeah.
Makes it all that more special, and watched her when I watched her when I was younger, and then I was able to compete against her in her final competition,
which
was
amazing.
Well, I think it was the 2010 World Championships. Yeah. So I was able to compete against her in the final, which was so special.
Yeah. Amazing. Mm. Oh, thanks so much, Bri.
Thanks, Laura.
Thank you.
And just when you thought you'd get through a full Sports Build episode without hearing Alistair or myself. Just wanted to say, first of all, a massive thank you to Kat, to Izzy and to Bryony for taking the time to speak with Laura and to give us a fantastic insight into what life is like being a professional trampoline athlete and all the amazing experiences they've gone through, the highs and the lows. We really do appreciate their time. And also a massive thank you to Laura as well. I know when I sort of floated this idea past her, she was quite keen on doing it, but she's been exceptionally busy over the last few months. But for her to actually have taken the time and to put these fantastic interviews together and actually show Alistair and I how we can improve our own interview techniques, especially when it comes to the quickfire questions. Massive thank you to Laura, and hopefully we can encourage her to come back again and do some more interviews in the future. The Trampolining World Championships are taking place between the 28th of November and the 1st of December. We wish all four of the British female athletes and all the British male athletes competing the very best of luck. This competition is providing one of the main opportunities to qualify places for Great Britain at the Olympic Games next year. So we'll definitely be keeping a close eye on them, and as I said, we wish them all the very best of luck. Alistair and I will be back very soon with even more of the biggest and best names in the sporting world coming your way. In the meantime, please follow us on social media. Our handles are @SportsBuildPod. And as I said, we look forward to coming back into your lives with a brand new episode very, very soon.